This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 on another spring-like Wednesday afternoon, March 13th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Homeowners who are angry about higher property taxes may need to point the finger of blame at themselves. We'll discuss why in our next segment. But right now, the House passed a bill that could lead to a nationwide ban of the popular social media app TikTok if its China-based parent company doesn't sell it. Let's get some perspective on the situation from Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor of the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And this legislation which passed today, heading to the Senate. President Biden says he'll sign it if it hits his desk. Seems like the continuation of an ongoing saga involving concerns over the parent company of TikTok and the potential of an adversary having access to the personal information of hundreds of millions of Americans.
That's right. Well, and their concerns, you know, depends on whose data you're going to believe. But the headlines here are that ByteDance, which owns TikTok, has been accused by some American lawmakers and some law enforcement of taking personal data from particularly American users of TikTok and misusing it or stealing it or spying and all kinds of nefarious activities. So the basic decision about to ban it, which is exactly what the House just passed the bill today, really overwhelmingly, by the way, it was 300 and some to about 60. But the reason they passed it is because they believe that China has been misusing all that data. So essentially spying on Americans using a very popular social media platform.
Now, there have been some other legislative efforts to address Chinese influence over TikTok at the state level. State-owned devices, smart devices, you're not allowed to use TikTok or install TikTok on a state-owned cell phone in a number of states. And going back through the mists of time, I know everything during the COVID era is kind of a blur for a lot of people, but the Trump administration signed an executive order, which ordered ByteDance to divest TikTok to an American company. And there was some interest from Microsoft, as I recall.
That's exactly right. In fact, a lot of the companies, almost any company, okay, is going to at least pause before it walks by a giant profit center, right? So even if there are concerns about safety and security, which there were, and Microsoft, by the way, as far as most people can tell, is a very good actor in this. They're trying very hard to keep spying and hacking down. They're using all kinds of information with the government to, if they see signs of hacking in large institutions and so on. So, you know, Microsoft is hardly to blame here, though, for pausing and going, 170 million users, that's a lot. And so, you know, there have been some efforts. Now, TikTok spent over $1 billion on an extensive plan called Project Texas, which basically was a promise to allow sensitive user data to be held separately from the rest of the company's operations. So in other words, they've been trying really hard to distance themselves from this reputation. But again, underneath all of this is a concern that China has been using American or at least Western technology to spy on Americans. And that is the primary reason. And by the way, let's not forget, this is a highly politicized time in a highly political season with the presidential election coming up. And so a lot of folks are saying, look, Congress is doing this because they want to look good for their constituents. So there's lots of cross currents here.
And then very quickly, any chance this could be held up in the courts on First Amendment or potentially antitrust grounds?
Well, that's exactly why TikTok has some hope here, is that, yeah, you can pass a law, but if it turns out that that law is unconconstitutional, in this case, based on free speech standards, well, then it won't go through, or at least won't be enacted. But again, or struck down at very least. So that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be lots of challenges.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor of the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thanks for joining us today to talk about the TikTok legislation that would force the Chinese-owned app ByteDance to divest TikTok to an American company or face banishment in the United States. Thank you for your insights today. Coming up, why homeowners might have to take some of the blame for higher property taxes.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Angry homeowners contemplate their rising property tax bills, and some self-reflection might be in order. Let's discuss why with Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business. Greg, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like we have some new research that says the most powerful entity in local municipal politics is not the Democratic Party, not various unions, not interest groups, but the 30% of registered voters who actually bother to show up.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, Rob. As you know, we in Chicago like to gripe about taxes, and even more, we like to gripe about our losing sports teams. But the one direct way that taxpayers can weigh in on this is when the local jurisdiction, the park district or the school board, whatever, wants to exceed their cap or go beyond what they're able to do on their own by law. So they have to put it to a referendum. That's where voters get to vote. yes or no. We're going to raise the tax and we're not going to raise the tax. And the truth of the matter is, according to a new study by County Treasurer Maria Pappas, almost all the time, fewer than half of the voters turn out. In fact, she looked at 75 referendums, most of which passed between 2020 and 2023. And in that period, average turnout was less than 1 in 3.
Now, there is no shortage of opinions online, and for a while, I was of the mind that maybe injecting social media into the political discussion was a good thing, because despite all of the heated rhetoric and the weird stuff you see, at the end of the day, people are more engaged and therefore are more likely to vote. But this study seems to say that my assumption was incorrect, so what could we do potentially to turn that around?
Well, one thing you could do is schedule referenda at elections where people do turn out, which are the general elections, like the presidential election this year in November, or even in 2 years the gubernatorial election. People do turn out for that, but these referenda tend to be scheduled at off periods, like the primary election. Well, here in the primary in Illinois, which is next week. A lot of people aren't going to vote because they think, well, the presidency is already over. It's going to be Trump and Biden, like it or not. And so I don't care, so I'm not going to get there. And even if they do get there, they have to wait all the way down ballot to get to these tax hike things. So maybe if you did them all in November in general elections, and maybe if you put the tax hike referendum at the top, it might get more public interest. But, hey, golly gee, if people are really that upset about taxes, you think they take the trouble to find out.
Is that lack of turnout, though, something that can be cynically exploited by some groups that like the idea of having ballot measures because they know very few people show up? So their energized supporters can really tip the balance.
It can be. The park districts and school boards or whatever involved here would say that, oh, the thing's passed because there's a need for it, and we convinced the public, and they're all for it. But the fact of the matter is that in primary elections, which tend to have a turnout of only 1 in 4, 83% of referendum pass. The figure goes down to 60% if you hold a different election, like the general election. I certainly think that government officials involved are aware of that, and I can't prove it, but I suspect, as I think a lot of people would, that they fish at the time of year when the fish are likely to run.
Now, on the one hand, the presidential election has been decided. We do have the primary next Tuesday, but there are two races of interest on the local ballot. There's the Cook County State's Attorney primary, and there are no shortage of opinions on criminal justice in Cook County and in Chicago in particular. And of course, we have Big Bring Chicago Home, which is a referendum question. So maybe we could put that 30% theory to the test next week.
Maybe we could, and maybe I'll be shocked and people will turn out. But the fact of the matter is that at the period of time here, the Treasury Pivots looked at average turnout in primary elections was only 25.33%. One in four.
Well, let's get those numbers up, Chicagoland. Greg Hines, columnist, Crane Chicago Business, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, the explosion of St. Patrick's Day as a public holiday. It's
compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Spending this St. Patrick's Day is expected to set a record, with restaurants and bars and some of the chief beneficiaries of the expansion of celebrations. Let's talk about that and the evolution of where we are now with many major events, with Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. St. Patrick's Day is a Sunday this year, and for many Chicagoans, it seems like they're going to stretch out that celebration Friday through Sunday, Irish or not.
Well, this is going to be a fantastic weekend for the restaurant, certainly downtown, other areas where people celebrate a lot of St. Patty's Day. But as you say, because it falls on a Saturday, I think restaurants are really expecting higher sales Friday, Saturday, and especially Sunday. I think a lot of restaurants in the loop or in general in Chicago can see an increase of Sunday sales by as much as 50% or more.
Nationwide spending is expected to increase 4% from last year and 22% compared to 2022. Now, Izzy, I grew up in Beverly and home of the Southside Irish Parade. So in my world, St. Patrick's Day was always a big deal. But it seems like everywhere is Western Avenue on St. Patrick's Day now. And is that just the product of better and more savvy marketing on the part of beer and spirits companies?
I think that's a big part of it. And, everybody in the country is looking for different reasons to celebrate, you know, many things. And St. Patty's Day is certainly a huge one. And for restaurants, it holds a special place in their heart, because it was on St. Patty's Day that all the restaurants had to shut down for COVID. So now they are really putting the push on. I think the general customer is just getting out there. It's going to be certainly the biggest St. Patty's Day in the country since COVID. And that's because everybody's ready to celebrate. And of course, everybody's Irish on St. Patty's Day.
And of course, that is very true. But it seems like there's a big push to turn other days into St. Patrick's Day style events. I mean, it's not just St. Patrick's Day being the big holiday where you can go out and imbibe and you're expected to do so. But we've seen that now with Halloween. We have seen that with the day before Thanksgiving. Is that also part of the marketing push by the big booze companies?
I think, you know, marketing is a big part of it, certainly. And Halloween, certainly in the restaurants I work with, last year was by far, again, the biggest participation on the part of the guest, even with coming to restaurants dressed up, that kind of thing. So I think a lot of the alcohol companies, the beer companies, are helping turn it into a lot of fun, real holiday, especially, again, at Halloween. But these holidays are certainly getting bigger. Day before Thanksgiving restaurants used to close at 6, 7, 8 o'clock. That's not happening anymore. People really are going out more and making the most out of that day prior.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Neighbors react to a deadly domestic shooting on Chicago's North Side. A bill that would require the Chinese owner of TikTok to sell the social media platform advances in Washington. In Personal Finance Wednesday, there are some money milestones you may want to mark at different points of your life. As spring, prom, and wedding season approaches, it's a very busy time for boutiques. We'll check in with one on the Southwest Side. Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is up 170 points. The NASDAQ is down 36. S&P 500 up 4. We have 63 degrees right now at O'Hare under mostly sunny skies at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, a 10-year-old boy has died in a domestic shooting on Chicago's north side. That's according to 40th Ward Alderman Andre Vasquez. It happened around 8 o'clock in the 5900 block of North Ravenswood. Neighbors say they heard some sort of dispute and they were too scared to intervene.
I heard the screaming. I heard someone screaming for help. And then I just heard sirens. So I was like, hey, the police or the ambulance have got it, taken care of it. And that's about it. And to walk out and it's a homicide, it's very sad.
A woman was also wounded and taken to the hospital in critical condition. Alderman Vasquez says police have identified a person of interest. The House has passed legislation giving the Chinese-owned social media app TikTok 6 months to divest its U.S. assets or face a ban.
The bill cracking down on ByteDance passed 352 to 65, with lawmakers such as Texas Republican Representative Dan Crenshaw voicing the security concerns that have worried many in Washington.
When you're in China, you have to do whatever the Chinese Communist Party says you have to do.
But Democratic California Representative Sidney Camlogger-Dove spoke for many who support the app.
Creatives, artists, content creators, and businesses in my district will get caught in the crossfire of this bill.
Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Other stories making news at this hour. Boeing is getting bad grades after a government audit of manufacturing quality, and the company says it's making changes to address the situation. The president of the company's commercial aircraft division says Boeing will work with employees found to have violated the company's manufacturing procedures to make sure they understand their instructions. The memo went out after the FAA identified problems during a six-week review of Boeing's processes for manufacturing the 737 MAX jetliner. That's the version that lost a panel during an Alaska Airlines flight in January. Markets are mixed right now. Let's get the latest from Chris Johnson, market strategist with the Johnson Research Group in Cincinnati. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And the trend appears to be the market powering through that latest CPI number that suggests that inflation is not quite slowing down at the pace we thought it would earlier in the year.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rob. I think there's a bigger question out there. When you look at this from 10,000 feet, everybody's been thinking that we're going to see six interest rate cuts for 2024. Now we're down to three. They're going to start in June. But the big question is, do we really want the Fed to have to cut rates? And I think investors are starting to grapple with that, because if the Fed starts to cut rates, it means they're trying to stimulate the economy. Right now, this is an economy that is just showing signs of not only green shoots, but true growth, whether it's corporate earnings, whether it is our the different metrics, jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So investors are tepid to kind of move higher, especially when we start hearing the phrase bubble tossed around on AI and things that have been driving the market. But I think they're going to find after tomorrow's PPI number, hopefully, we'll get calmed down a little bit. We'll know what the Fed's going to do next week, and then things will move forward. Remember, earnings are only a month away, so we're going to start to see some buying the rumor here.
It seems like as far as the markets are concerned, there's a greater deal of comfort now with the notion of higher for longer compared to a couple of months ago. As long as there is growth, they can live with higher for longer for a little while longer.
That's exactly right. If you look at the jobs numbers that came out, we are seeing increasing jobs. We're seeing wages that are inching higher. They could be going up a little bit faster, obviously. The big thing here is affordability. When you look at the CPI number from yesterday, housing is still a problem, fuel and energy still a problem here. But those are those things that move a little bit faster. Maybe not the housing, but definitely the energy. And that's why we look at core numbers versus headline. But you're right. Everybody's kind of getting used to the fact that we're not higher for longer is here to stay. And again, going back to my first comment, it's not a bad thing, because if the Fed gets pushed into lowering rates, that means that we're starting to see smoke in the economy.
Now, one of the big pushes from the White House in the last week or so has been trying to address that housing affordability component and urging more building of residential buildings across the country. Is that possible, though, in a higher interest rate environment? I mean, are you more likely to build something at a 6 or 7% mortgage rate environment versus what we got used to last decade?
Yeah, you nailed it. We need rates to be lower. That if we go with the higher for longer, that's going to be a hard equation to make it work out in terms of getting more housing into the market. So inventory is a big problem here. You know, I'll stand on a soapbox for a second here, Rob, and say we have a little bit of a solution. We're seeing it here in Cincinnati, where our local government is starting to address the number of Airbnbs and short-term rentals and trying to kind of curb the appetite of, well, the people that are out there getting those units, because that has taken a ton of inventory off the market. In a town like Cincinnati, let alone Chicago or other more tourist destinations. So I think you'll see a few things like that start to kind of come out of the market. But yeah, controlling it from an interest rate and actually increasing inventory here over the short term, it's going to be a tough go.
Sounds like your friend is saying it's rough out there.
It is rough. That is right.
Chris Johnson, market strategist with the Johnson Research Group in Cincinnati.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. In this segment, we're identifying some money milestones you might want to set your sights on for different points in life. We welcome in Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Sherry, thank you for joining us today. And I think this is an essential conversation because over the course of Personal Finance Wednesday, we hit on all sorts of different things you should be doing at different times. And I think there's an emphasis on retirement planning and retirement saving. But let's pull out. Let's take a look. Let's go give you the view from 35,000 feet and kind of assess where you should be at different points of your life. So let's begin. You're in your 20s. And God love you for being in your 20s. You can live forever. You can do anything. You can go out. You can do whatever you want. You're free. But what are some things you should do once you're out of school and have that first grown-up job for the very first time?
Great. And thank you for having me. But first of all, what you do in your 20s and 30s really sets you up to your 50s, 60s, and 70s. So I'm glad we're starting with your 20s. When you're in your 20s, it's a good time to really start budgeting, living within your means, try to save whatever you can, take advantage of retirement benefits at your employer, like 401k, especially if they have matching, which means if you put a certain percentage in, they will match, give you that percentage. That's like free gift. And also make sure that you keep your credit clean, because at some point you're going to be looking for a mortgage or needing good credit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a temptation there if you're in your 20s, especially when you're with HR and you're a part of the onboarding process. They used to call it hiring, but now it's onboarding, and you're going through all of the benefits and you're clicking off all the things that can be deducted from your paycheck. I think there's a temptation there when you're 22 or 23 saying to yourself, well, I don't really need this right now, but I can really enjoy that additional take-home pay, and then it comes back to bite you decades down the road.
Yeah, every little bit helps. So, you know, 2%, 3%, you know, just try to put a little bit at a time, because time is on your side and it'll grow.
Well, now you're 24, 25, 26. Maybe you found that special someone. Maybe you're on a nice little a trajectory at work, and it's time to form a household and start to pile up, maybe save some of that extra money you're making. And so, when you hit your 30s, what are some things you should be doing in that decade?
Yeah, definitely try to save when you can. Keep up that really good credit history. But you're probably going to start maybe looking for a home or a condo. Make sure you don't overextend yourself. You don't want to be house poor. So make sure that you get a mortgage where you can live within your means. And if you start to have kids, things get real. You know, you might need a will or an estate plan. Start to look at life insurance if something should happen to one of the spouses. So, you know, you're starting to become a real adult with some real responsibilities in the 30s.
And above and beyond that, you have to have the discussion about childcare and how you pay for that, and if someone in the household should stay home or downshift their career or go to part-time. And that has to factor into the next part of the equation, is when you get in your 40s and 50s, you have to start really thinking about retirement savings. And if someone stays home for a decade to take care of the kids, how that's going to impact their retirement savings later on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the 40s are a time when you start to accumulate wealth. But even before starting to think about retirement, there could be private school. You know, you have to be on the same page with your spouse, private grade school, private high school. And college expenses are getting very high. So you know, want to start thinking about saving for college, because you don't want to get in your late 40s, early 50s when your kids are going to college and you're using all the money you would have saved to pay for college. So again, time is on your side. So in your 30s and 40s, saving for college is really important. And, you know, really making sure that you start to invest properly. You've probably accumulated some assets. You might start to look at hiring a financial advisor and making sure your investments are working for you in an asset allocation or investment strategy that's right for you.
Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
It's Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The weather is warming up. That means proms, formals, and weddings are on the calendar. Let's discuss the fashion and accessory side of the season with Roy Surday, founder of Peaches Boutique, 59th at Archer on the southwest side of Chicago. Roy, thank you for joining us today. And even though it's March and prom season begins, let's say, late April through the month of May, are people already showing up in your shop to get their dresses on the books?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, they started shopping actually January, February. So we're in the middle of the season right now, and kids are out shopping pretty good right now.
And what's the turnaround time typically for someone who is shopping for that prom dress or quinceanera dress that's just right? You mentioned they show up in January and February. Does it take 3 or 4 months to turn that around and get it set up for them?
No, we carry a huge amount of inventory at our store. So we're one of the largest vendors in the Midwest region, probably in the country. So when people come and shop at our place, they pretty much come in, find a dress, and take it home with them.
And we talked when we first started speaking several years ago, you know, proms were still it was a hit or miss. A lot of school districts elected to skip them even in 2021 because of the uncertain COVID situation then. But it seems like it's full go for every school and school district now. And maybe there could be a few other special occasions on the calendar as well.
Yeah, they're back to normal. The schools are all having proms. They're also having winter formals and spring formals dances. So they are coming back into what was normal back before COVID, and we're seeing a lot better traffic now.
And then, obviously, there's a great deal of focus on those coming-of-age events like proms and quinceaneras and first communions and things like that. But what is your business of business and business people and people getting something nice for maybe a job interview for a recent college graduate? Is that a substantial portion of your customer base?
So, yes, we are one of the largest also quinceanera retailers in the Midwest region. So we do a huge amount of quinceanera business, and we do a lot of dresses for social occasions. So our store, we're basically a color store. We carry a lot of different varieties. We're not a bridal shop, but we do brides and bridesmaids.
And then very quickly, when we talk about social occasions again, do you find that people are coming in to look nice for in-person events because Zoom interviews and Zoom gatherings are nowhere near as prevalent as they were 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, we do see women coming in more to buy nice dresses to go out to places because they now do have to go back to work a little bit more than they did back in the 2020 and 2021.
You know what, Roy? It feels like 100 years ago, 2020. Roy Surday, founder of Peaches Boutique, 59th and Archer on the southwest side of Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.